Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Verse 6 tonight, Ephesians chapter 6. Tonight we'll be preaching on putting on some gospel shoes. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 10. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Look back at verse 15. That's where we're at tonight. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." We're talking about putting on the whole armor of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do again come to you and just love you. And just, Lord, we thank you that you have not left us defenseless, but you've given us the armor. And we pray, God, that we would put it on. And Lord, may we have a better understanding of it when we leave tonight. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have Paul, the apostle, writing the church at, to the church at Ephesus. And here he is describing the soldier. He's chained to a Roman soldier. And so he's picking out the various elements of the Roman soldier and using that to illustrate for us biblical truth, helping us to understand that we spiritually need to put on the whole armor of God. Again, we think about not only having that, but each piece of armor is important, and that you should put on the whole armor of God. As we look at the weapons, we find that only one weapon is offensive. Not offensive as an offensive, but there's only one offensive weapon, and that's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. But in battle, you know, the soldier has one weapon, and go forth with the sword. Warfare consists mainly of resisting and keeping. Let me say that again. Warfare mainly consists of resisting and keeping. Keeping alive. Keeping alive. And keeping the ground that we have. Keeping the ground that we have. So the Bible says, spiritually speaking, that we are to hold fast the form of sound words. 2 Timothy chapter 1. That the Bible says there, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Let us hold fast. Let us keep the ground that we have. Keep the ground. Stand firm, in other words. Hebrews 10:23. James 4:7 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, and verse 8, he says that the devil's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But in verse 9, he says, whom, talking about Satan, resist steadfast in the faith. Resist the devil. Resist him. Again, as we put on the whole armor of God, we are to resist the devil. We think about, again, this battle that we are in, the spiritual battle. We must stand having the belt of truth, verse 14, having on this belt of truth, this thick belt that the soldier wore. And on that belt would hang the breastplate of righteousness, and on that belt would hang other equipment, the sword and other equipment that would help the soldier in battle. It was important that that belt helped strengthen him and helped his back and for him to have strength there. And it was there to help him in battle. It's important that it be on right, be on correctly, because it affected the other pieces of armor. It affected the breastplate of righteousness. It affected the breastplate that needs to be on right. And it affects the way the sword would be put on. It's important that we put on the belt of truth. In John 17, verse 17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. The word of God. It compares the word of God to truth. The word of God is truth. It is truth. Now again, I think the practical application is, of course, speaking honestly and speaking truthful. But the spiritual application is that we take the truth of the word of God and we bring it into our lives. We read it and we absorb it. We bring it, we feed upon it, and we learn those truths. And learning those truths, it helps us to stand. In learning those truths and learning about God and growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it helps us to stand. It helps us to stand. Knowing the truth, knowing what we believe and why we believe it, helps us to stand and not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It still amazes me how many times I pick up a Christian book, and somebody has something new to say concerning the Bible and this and that. I'm telling you, there's nothing new under the sun when it comes to the Bible. I mean, of course God can shed light on a particular verse or whatever, but I promise you, if you did enough research, there will be some other book out there. There'll be some other preacher, some other missionary, some other theologian who has come across and maybe have said those same things. Spurgeon used to say, and when Spurgeon, who was the great preacher of the late 1800s, who pastored the largest church in the world there in England, a great, great preacher, used to say, if God shed light on a verse and gave it to someone else, you think he'd probably just give you the book so you could read it? And that's what he would say about his library. He had a very large library. And so he would say to people, well, why should God give me new insight into a verse of Scripture if God's already given that insight to someone else? Just that was for free. Truth. Knowing truth. Learning truth helps us to stand and not be tossed to and fro. And then we must stand and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So this would be the application of the truth. In other words, taking that truth we have learned and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and then living right and having our conscience clean and making sure that we're right before God so that the devil has no place to shoot. Whenever we get in a position where we sin, the devil comes around, boy, he'll start nagging at you that you failed and you fell down and he'll just keep at you. Well, we need to stand. We need to live right. If we fall, it's because we haven't been living right. May we put on the belt of truth. May we learn and read the Word of God and know it. May we hide the truth of the Word of God in our hearts that we may not sin against God. May we apply that Word to our lives and practically speaking as we live out this life. And then, thirdly, tonight, may we put on gospel shoes. The Roman soldier, and there are various ways in which in the Roman soldiers, different kind of shoes they had. I would say for the most part, if you read historically, they wore sandals. And even in those sandals, they would take little spikes and put on the bottom. And they were called hops. And it was a small little nail that they would put into the sole of their sandal, or small little nails that they would put into the sole of their boots, their shoes, in order that they might have a grip. If you got to remember that when there was a battle taking place, it was man against man, right? And these armies would rush at each other, and it really was about weight sometimes. It was how much weight do you have to push the other army over, or push the other person over. I might do pretty good at that. Push them over. And so it was important that they be able to take a firm hold and stand when that soldier, that army is coming towards them, and stand there in the battle to have the proper shoes. By the way, good shoes were essential to the soldier. There was going to be long marches, rough terrain, rocky terrain, wet terrain. It was important and still is important for a soldier to have the right shoes. Years ago, it's been 2000, I remember it's very vivid in my mind. In 2005, I went to Lancaster, California to attend the Spiritual Leadership Conference for the first time. And it was a great, great experience. But one of the greatest experiences I had when I was there is I went to Target. Now, I don't go to Target today. My wife doesn't shop there. I said none of my money goes to Target. But, we'll never until they. As Christians, we ought to vote with our wallets, guys, and stick to it. I'm that stubborn. My wife doesn't shop at Target. It was one of her favorite stores. Look at her. So anyway, in 2005, I was at Target,
And I've gone out early to Lancaster, California on Saturday and gone out soul winning with them. And my shoes were just, wasn't what they should have been. And man, my feet were just killing me. And really, probably been killing me for a year or two. Some of y'all know how that is. You know, you just kind of live with it. So I went into Target, I went into the shoe department, and I bought my first pair of rubber-soled shoes. I bought my first pair of rubber-soled dress shoes. I've had tennis shoes, but not rubber-soled dress shoes. Changed my life. Totally changed my life. And from that day on, I have never wore another pair of leather-soled dress shoes. Just phenomenal. Overnight, my feet loved me and praised me for switching over to rubber-soled dress shoes. And there's no turning back now. Made a big difference, honestly. My feet didn't hurt. You know how when your feet hurt, it's really as you're trying to do something, your feet hurt, it's all you can think about. You know, you're just distracted because your feet hurt. And so you think about a soldier and the importance of that. I remember the first time I went and bought tennis shoes that cost more than $30 or $40. My wife will remember this too. I mean, I'm just stubborn. I've always bought shoes that were, you know, $30 or $40. I bought the same kind of shoe. When I first got married, I bought the same shoe for at least 10, 12, 13 years, maybe 15 years, the same shoe. They were black shoes, right? Cross trainers, black, so that I could polish them and continue to wear them until they totally wore out. You know how you can't polish shoes today, right? But I wear the black ones on purpose so I could polish them. Tennis shoes. I'd polish tennis shoes. Amen. Saved me a lot of money. One day I'm up at my dad's and I see that my dad has this nice pair of shoes on. And here's my dad who's always been so thrifty and just wouldn't spend money, especially on shoes. It was like, I'm not spending money on shoes. If you want that nice of shoe, you buy it yourself, you know. And so I said, Dad, what in the world have you done? He said, well, I went to the doctor and I had some feet problems and foot problems, and my doctor told me to buy these certain shoes, and they were Asics, and they were very nice, and he spent a bunch of money on them. So the next time I was around, I bought me a pair of nicer shoes. Changed my life. Second time around. So you know what? A little position now, they can spend a little more on shoes. I'm not talking about $200, some of the ridiculous things that teenagers pay for shoes. But you can find good shoes for $50, $60, and up to $100 if you find the right sale, especially at the ASICS outlet. I know ASICS are old man shoes, but I love them, and that's what I continue to wear for the most part. And just awesome. It changed my life. And I know we're laughing, and it's Sunday night, but you know what? You understand, some of you who are a little more mature in age, I'm telling you, it's important. Your shoes are important. It's important that they don't hurt when you wear them. Because, again, it distracts you. It's all you can think about. And as a soldier, it's important that you not be distracted and not have to deal with blisters and other things on your feet as you're trying to go to war. It's important that you have the right shoes on. But think about here is talking about gospel shoes. Look at verse 14 again. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, look at 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. These shoes, speaking of the gospel. So as we think about these shoes, we think about standing firm in the gospel. Standing firm, these shoes of peace, these shoes of the gospel of peace. And we talked about this last Sunday morning when we introduced the book of Jude on the second sermon, talking about that he said there that you might have peace, that you might have peace. And he prayed for them that they would have peace, that they would have mercy. Peace. Number one, we think about the peace which God brings to us. In other words, the peace with God. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1 and verse 16. Most of you will know this verse. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. It is Christ who brings peace with God. It's Christ who brings peace between God and man, who bridges that gap, who crosses the chasm, brings peace with God. By how? by his life, death, and resurrection. The gospel. The gospel. The good news. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. But as Brother McCracken pointed out, and being under Brother Stewart and others, it also includes the life of Christ. It is Christ who lived that perfect life for 33 and a half years. So essentials to the gospel are this. Number one, that Christ was God. Because only God can take all God's wrath. Only an infinite being can take infinite wrath. And so when Christ came to this earth, he was God in the flesh. He was God. Just as much God as though he'd never been man. Just as much man as though he'd never been God. He was the God-man. Number two, he was man. That he might represent you. And he might represent me. Understand that a man sits at the right hand of the throne of God tonight. One of us. One of us. The God-man. Two natures, one personality. Human nature, divine nature, one personality. The God-man. The God-man. He was God, he was man, he was sinless. Born of a virgin. Never one time had a sinful thought. Never one time performed a sinful deed. He was sinless in disposition, desire, and deed. Because of that, we can have his righteous record applied to our sinful records account. What a blessing. Our sinful records erased. Christ's sinless record is put in its place. He was sinless. And then his death. He had to die. He had to shed his blood for us on Calvary. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And there he died my death. There he paid the price for my sins. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. He was God. He was man. He was sinless. He died, he was buried, and rose again the third day. When we're presenting the gospel, we need to make sure that we are presenting it in those five essentials. As we accept Christ as our Savior, when we accept Christ as our Savior, we have peace with God. Again, as we said this morning, that we are born in enmity with God. But because of Christ and his death and burial and resurrection, we are reconciled unto God. Jesus Christ restores that fellowship once again. Stay with me now. And because of this, there's confidence in the battle because of the gospel. As we face the day-to-day life and the day-to-day battles, as we face the spiritual battle in this life, we have confidence in knowing that we're saved. We have confidence in knowing that there's been peace between us and God. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition." It's Jesus Christ who made now both one, God and man, brought them back together. We should rest firmly with our confidence in the gospel. We should rest firmly. We should rest firmly in our confidence in the gospel, the finished work of Jesus Christ. The gospel brings peace with God. The gospel also brings the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, keep you." Listen, no, I'm thankful for the peace I have with God. And if anything, that's the most important thing. But I'm also so glad that he's given me the peace of God. That I can experience calm in the midst of a battle. I can experience calm in the midst of storm. That I have that peace that passes all understanding. The gospel brings calm in the midst of battle. Get this now. So the gospel brings us confidence in the battle because I know I'm a child of God. I know that I'm saved. I know that heaven one day will be my home. The gospel gives us confidence in the battle because not only do we have peace with God, but we have the peace of God. And therefore, we have rest. We can have calm. We can have experience calm in the midst of the battle. I know I'm saved. I know he'll take care of me. Hello? He's promised to take care of me as a Christian. He's promised to take care of me as a child of God. And when I'm in the midst of the battle, I can rest easy knowing that he will take care of me. This gospel shoes are not... In fact, I think this is the primary application is the peace of God and the peace with God. The secondary application, of course, is spreading the gospel. that we need to take the gospel. But the primary application here is that we have a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who brought peace between us and God. And we have confidence in knowing that when we die, when we pass from this life, we'll pass to the next, and we'll live in heaven for all eternity with Him. It ought to bring confidence to you. I'll never forget Brother John Casillas coming to our church years ago, him and his wife Wanda, and coming to our missions conference. And there's a lot of trouble going on in Mexico. And we asked the question, several asked the question, you know, were they going to return? We had lots and lots of missionaries who came off the field of Mexico and returned home because of the violence. And his words were, I'm going back. All they can do is threaten me with heaven. And guess what? He did die, and she died. Really died a martyr's death as they were killed in Mexico. All you can do is threaten me with heaven in the battle. Have confidence. I know. I know where I'm going. And then I, because I'm a child of God and I have the gospel applied to my heart and life, I have the promises of God. That He's promised to supply all my needs. He's promised to take care of me and never leave me, nor forsake me, never fail me. Gives us rest in the midst of the battle. How are we to have this peace in the battle? Well, we walk with Him. He desires that personal relationship with you, as we say just about every third Sunday. Christianity is Christ. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He desires that. He wants to walk with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. And as we read our Bibles, as we pray, as we fellowship with Him, as we hear the Word of God preached in church, we have peace in our hearts. It brings peace to the heart. The gospel brings peace to our hearts. John McLaren said it this way. He said, Alexander McLaren said it this way. He said, the way in which we absorb the gospel, or the way in which we practically live this out, is by soaking our minds and hearts in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have written in the front of my Bible, I have a couple of things written in the front of my Bible. I'll give you one of them. One of them says, would I listen to myself 3 times a week? Another one is, it really is written down there. I don't know how you guys listen to me 3 times a week. That's why we stick Brother Wiggins in there every once in a while. It's important. Here's a quote from, actually it's from Warren Wiersbe. It is important that we interpret the gospel to the saved. The entire New Testament is an interpretation and application of the gospel. Preaching deep is preaching all aspects of the gospel. It is soaking our minds and our hearts in the gospel that brings peace in the midst of battle. Soaking our minds in the gospel, the thought of what Jesus did for me on the cross. Being thankful of what Jesus did for me on the cross brings confidence and brings rest in the midst of battle. Having on the gospel shoes, peace with God, the peace of God. Secondly, the application of spreading the gospel. Being prepared. It says there, look at verse 14. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. May we be prepared, always ready. And as we've said there in the previous verse, look at verse 13, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We need to be prepared. We don't know when the evil day is coming. We don't know when that sudden assault will come by the devil, but we need to be ready. We ought to be prepared, and we ought to be prepared to tell others of the good news of salvation. Look with me at Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. The cross reference to this, we won't turn there, is found in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. So here Paul is quoting Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And how shall they, let's look at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And that last part there, as it is written, is quoting Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. Where Isaiah talks about the children of Israel, of them returning to the land after their captivity. And those who would go and tell them, those who would go and speak to them and preach to them, hey, God is a merciful and loving God. He's long-suffering, and we're going to return to the land one day. So those who were pronouncing the good news of the return of the remnant back to Jerusalem, that their feet were beautiful. And what Paul is saying here, just like that, just like them encouraging the children of Israel, the remnant, those who were in captivity, by giving them the good news that God one day would allow them to return to the city of Jerusalem, so should we go and spread the good news. But our good news is that Jesus Christ has come, and that He lived and He died and rose again, that we might have our sins forgiven and that we might have a home in heaven. That's the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And tell others the good news. We know, most of us have been in church a while, and we know that we are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm not commanded to go to every part of the world and dig a well. And of course we can dig a water well and help out those who need help, but may we present the gospel first. May our primary objective is to present the gospel. I've said many, many times, you present the gospel, they get saved, God is required to take care of them. He said He would. Now, He may use you to dig the well, but God, after their salvation, is required. He's promised that He would supply all their needs. May we go to the world and reach the gospel and preach the gospel to every creature. There are many who are held captive by the enemy today. We must go and tell them and that they can be delivered, as we preached this morning. Delivered from the wrath of God. Delivered from sin. Delivered from evil. Delivered from the love of sin. Delivered. We must go and tell them. The fields are wide, all ready to harvest. This is a great time to be telling somebody about Jesus. Lots of people have questions today. A lot of uncertainty today. I'm thankful I have something that's certain. The gospel. Put on your gospel shoes. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have our marching orders. They're found in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. I won't quote it again, but to go into all the world, to teach and to preach and to baptize. May we put on our gospel shoes. There are many Christians today who don't have their shoes on, running around barefooted. It's like some of them little kids last night at the football game. Brother Jansen's little girls running around without her shoes on, all over that football field, all over that baseball field. There are many Christians today who don't have their shoes on. They don't have their gospel shoes on. Many Christians today are not ready. 1 Peter 3:15 says that we ought to be ready always to give an answer to every man of the hope that's within us. You as a Christian, if you've been saved very long, you ought to know how to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. You ought to know how to give someone the gospel. You ought to know how to do that. And you ought to have your gospel shoes on and be ready when somebody asks you a question. And let me clarify, you can always be ready if you've got a track in your hand. You can always be ready if there's a track in your pocket. And somebody asks you and you're not comfortable, tell them. There are many who are, just shy and so forth. But listen, you wouldn't have to say a word. Basically say, hi, and here's a track. Would you read this? Boy, you fulfilled the command. We ought to have that, when we have that opportunity, we ought to be able to answer the questions, though. And again, if you've been a Christian very long, you ought to be able to give the gospel to somebody verbally. Be able to tell them of the good news of salvation. We are called to service. We are called to labor in the fields. I'm telling you, as a church, we are called to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. One thing we've learned through this COVID thing, the Bible makes it clear that really the church is not in the business of attracting people. The church's business is not to attract the lost. The church business and service is to go out and compel them, to go out and tell them, to go out and bring them in. Whatever you do to bring them in, you're going to have to keep doing. And you have to do it better than the church down the street. Hello? We're to go give the gospel to them. We're to go out and give them to them. We're to tell them at our work. We're to tell them when we're in our neighborhood. We're to tell our friends and family as we gather around the Thanksgiving table, which is fast approaching. We're to tell them. We're to show them the love of Jesus. We're to show them the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they can have peace, that they can have contentment, that their soul can be satisfied. We as Christians ought to master the craft of soul winning. It takes time. It takes some effort. Brother Wiggins and I have already talked about next summer. I know that seems like a far way off, but it's not. It's going to be here before you know it. We're going to take some time on Wednesday nights next year and again go through how to present the gospel and go through and maybe do some role playing where we can help you in that. We want to continue to educate and help our church family know how to tell somebody how to go to heaven, how to have their sins forgiven. We ought to master the craft of soul winning. By the way, the craft of soul winning, of telling somebody about the gospel, is better caught than taught. The best way for you to learn how to tell somebody about Jesus is just for you to do it. Paul just gave his testimony and led people to Jesus. I'm telling you, the best way to do it is just to do it. It's kind of like teaching a Sunday school class. You learn more by teaching than you do by listening. I'm telling you, when you get in that position of teaching, whether it's in master clubs or just anything, you'll find that you learn so much more because you're teaching it, because you had to study it and work at it. It's better caught than taught. You learn more about soul winning by doing it than you do by someone teaching you how to do it. It's just stepping out by faith and knowing that he said, "Lo, I am with you always." He's going to be with you as you tell somebody about the Lord, as you give them the gospel. He's promised to help you. He's promised to give you the words. He's promised to help you to give the gospel out. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, "The most victorious Christian is a witnessing Christian." You want to be victorious in the battle? Well, the most victorious Christian is a witnessing Christian. May we witness to those around us. What an opportunity, as I said, we have today. The gospel brings peace in the battle. Our confidence in knowing that we're saved brings peace in our everyday life. It gives us sure footing. It's a firm foundation. Christ is the cornerstone. He is the foundation. And as we stand upon that rock, we stand firm. We can't be moved. The gospel needs to be spread. Are you ready? Do you know how to tell somebody about Jesus? You got a track in your pocket. This is some of the areas that I've slacked in over the last couple of years, and I've really tried. Even this last couple of weeks, I've had a track in my pocket every day that I know of. Make sure you have a track in your pocket, a track in your car. I tried to say truck, and it didn't come out right. Pulled a Biden. Will you pray? I shouldn't be funny at the very end of a message. Will you pray? Honestly, are you ready? Do you have the answer to give to somebody about how to go to heaven? How to have their sins forgiven? You ought to have the answer. Amen. We ought to be able to tell those who are held captive by the enemy how to have peace, the gospel of peace. Will you help them? Leave a track, share the good news. Many people today looking for peace. Many today looking for an answer. May we have that answer for them. You got your gospel shoes on? Nothing like having gospel shoes on and giving the good news to someone else. But there's nothing like being in the battle and having that peace that passes all understanding. Confidence in knowing that God will take care of you no matter what you face, no matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter if it's health problems, financial problems, relational problems in your family, whatever it may be, in this battle, God has promised to give you peace. Let's all stand. We'll have a verse of invitation. Hymn 534, "Cleanse Me," after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that peace that we have in knowing that we're saved and that we have fellowship with the Father through your Son Jesus. I pray that each of us would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, tell somebody about Jesus this week. Give someone the good news of salvation by leaving a track or telling someone verbally about that good news. Lord, may you empower us and encourage us. Send somebody our way, Lord, that we might have the opportunity to tell somebody about you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good old hymn, Cleanse Me, as we sing.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray.
Sing.
I praise thee, Lord.
Maybe you're going through a battle tonight. Maybe you need to come and pray. Lord, give me that peace that passes all understanding. He promised he would. Give you peace in the battle. Kind of follows a pattern and says, you know, we are to learn the truth, and then we are to live the truth, and then tell somebody else about the truth. And may we do that this week as the Lord gives us opportunity to do that. Continue standing. I'll give you some announcements. Try to be brief. Brother Leopard did a good job this morning, and you have a bulletin.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchaslett.org.